Good morning.
Good morning.
As we continue looking into our vision, being empowered by God to love and serve one another, I want to just bring a word this morning, a continued word about the Holy Spirit and the life of the believer. Before we do that, let's pray. God, we are nothing without you. So we just pray in this hour, in this time you've given us, you would come, Holy Spirit. Teach us and touch us and lead us and love us and use us to be your presence in the world. And be reminded that when we are in Christ, there's a power in us by your Spirit that is like no other power. There is a purpose and a provision like no other provision in this world. And so, God, in this hour, speak deep truth to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. The good news today is that the Holy Spirit empowers us to love and serve one another beyond what we can ever do on our own. And so when we use that phrase as a vision statement, it's not something new, but just a reminder of an old eternal truth that it is by God's power and God's Spirit that we're able ever to love and to serve one another in His power. And the focus scripture I want us to think of today is that very first verse where Paul says to the church, "For in Christ there is now therefore." I'll stop there for just a moment to focus on that one small word now, because I believe even though he preached that so many years ago, that now was then, but it is now every day in this moment. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the day. Now is the moment that there is never, ever, ever any condemnation for the one who is in Christ Jesus. If God is real in our hearts, if Christ is real in our lives, then the filling of the Spirit is already there. And so we are never condemned by sin. Just like becoming a human being as a small babe being born, there is more to salvation than that initial point. Whenever the Spirit brings life to us, when we invite Him into our heart, it's a lifetime of continually turning to the Lord. That's not to say, though, whenever we are not condemned, that there will not be struggles in our lives, for there will. And I believe today sometimes we hear a gospel that says once you are saved and you accept Christ into your life, the slate is wiped clean. And I believe that's true. But it does not say that the struggles go away. In fact, I believe for some believers, once you accept Christ as Lord, the struggles become even more intense. Because when you're in God's will, there is an enemy desiring to take you out of that will. And so it does not mean that the struggles will go away, for they will be there. In fact, it also does not say there will be no mistakes and there will be no more character faults to deal with, because I know personally there will be. Whenever I become saved in Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that everything clears up for me, but it means I begin that process where I am no longer condemned by sin to be the one that I was before. And the one who walks faithfully with Christ is never, ever to be condemned by sin again. And so the greatest gift is to be pardoned by the Spirit of God this morning. I believe that's one of the first things that happens in the life of the believer. I believe that's what that verse says. Now, therefore, in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. And if God is involved, there is always a need to tell the story of what the Spirit has done in your life. In fact, I believe it needs to be heard by a world that is dead to sin so that they have an opportunity to be alive in Christ. The first step of pardon comes when we invite a holy encounter with the living God and are no longer condemned to a life and external existence apart from God. We do not change to win God's love. I want to say that out loud this morning because that would be backwards. But because God loves us, we desire to change in this life. In fact, I believe God's Spirit witnesses to our spirit that we are beloved children. And the Bible tells us, if we read a little further in that same chapter, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And that's a term that wasn't ever even used before Jesus came to walk on this earth. You don't find it in the Old Testament. But when Jesus said that you can call the Father Abba, he was bringing us to a relationship that had never been that intimate before. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And so indeed, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. If we are heirs, we have accepted and we have received everything that he has to give us. And so once we are pardoned, the Holy Spirit gives us peace. How is that? How is it that the Holy Spirit can give us peace in a world that if you turn the TV on, it's not but just a matter of moments before you decide that this is not a very peaceful world? In fact, I believe it's easy to discover externally that we are in an unpeaceful environment. But when the Spirit comes, there is an internal peace that only comes from God. So through prayer and personal reflection in our lives, the Spirit helps us to identify, helps us to see those things that keep us apart from God and confess those inward causes of alienation and hurt and things that defeat us in this life. I believe a part of that pardon that the Spirit gives me is a conviction and a desire to confess regularly the things that separate me from God. This is one of the most difficult parts of being a Christian, I believe, is that my life needs to continually be a life of giving to God those things that hinder my relationship with Him. Continually confessing the sin that so desires to separate me and draw me away, and to continually know that although I will struggle in this life, in Christ Jesus, none of us are ever left alone or defeated in the life, in this life, or in the life to come. Which raises the question in my own spirit this morning, what is it that the Holy Spirit is prompting you to confess to Him? Don't wait. Simply do it. The Holy Spirit then cleanses us. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in this life. I like that promise today. And so if we respond to the Spirit's leading within us, He shapes us into a new life that can begin. Jesus said these words to His disciples, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. The Word of God brings healing and cleansing. You know, God desires to prune those places in our lives, if you will, that keep us from becoming the people that He has designed us to be. Now, when God is the one pruning, things may need to be removed that aren't really even dead in your life. In fact, they may be very well good things that are alive in your life today and in my life today. In fact, some of the things that I think of that we really desire to hold on to are maybe something to do with a career choice or a relationship or sports or music or other things that are very good in this life, but they're not necessarily the best for us. And so God desires to prune those things in and out of our lives, and pruning requires cutting, and cutting hurts. Growing hurts. Though the results are always unimaginable and worth it when God is the one doing the pruning and the cutting in this life. The Holy Spirit next wants to perfect our lives in love. And I think this is also another hard thing to understand, especially since I know my faults and I know my shortcomings. And I can sit and have a long conversation with you about those if we needed to. But I believe today, whenever the Word of God tells us that the Holy Spirit perfects us, He doesn't perfect me in a way that allows me to perfectly run a sprint or perfectly draw a painting or perfectly do some kind of hobby, but He makes me perfect in love just as He was perfect in love and as He loved. The Word of God promises, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. See, I believe today that the righteousness of Christ was His perfect love for God and people. It wasn't a form of I'm better than you way of living. When we are open to the Holy Spirit, we're rooted and we're grounded in Christ's love so that the same love may increase within us. Amen? Absolutely. That's the desire that He has for His church. The Holy Spirit will not only take away sins from the one who receives Him by faith, but the Spirit brings Christ alive in us and makes us new creations. See, I also believe that God forgives us and gives us a power to forgive others when it's not within our heart to do so. As we are not condemned in Christ, so we have found the freedom to forgive others who trespass against us in this life. Ask God today, when you're alone with Him in your quiet time, for the desire to forgive, and then ask for the power to do so. See, the Spirit will in time help us to restore any relationship that is broken from unforgiveness. And I can say from personal experience, I know that this has happened in my life with close, very close relationships that I thought were beyond repair, when the Holy Spirit stepped in and brought healing that could only come by His power. The Holy Spirit also empowers us not to hate, but rather to love, with Christ's love toward our enemies. This is one of those verses that I wish Christ was just making a suggestion rather than saying, this is one of my truths. You are called to love your enemies. Now, I think it's hard for us sometimes to admit that we have enemies, because none of us want to have enemies. But you know, folks, if we live out of certain beliefs and convictions, there will be those who disagree. And there will be those who may want to be our enemy. But Jesus says, love rather than hate. The same Spirit that empowered Jesus to pray for and to forgive those who killed Him says this in Luke's Gospel. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided up His garments and they cast lots. See, I believe the Spirit empowers us to love our enemies and pray for those who make life difficult. I was trying to think of a good example of this as I was considering the power of the Holy Spirit today. And some of you may be familiar with the name Corrie Ten Boom. It's been a long time since I've heard anything about her life. But just a summary, in World War II, her and her sister Betsy were in one of the Nazi concentration camps. Her sister was not fortunate enough to make it out of the camp, but Corrie was. And after she was released from the camp, for many years she would go around churches in Germany presenting, giving her testimony and telling stories in churches about how God provided for her and how His Holy Spirit took care of her and taught her how to forgive and all of those things. And at the end of one of the services, she looked down the aisle and she saw this man coming from the back of the church. And as he got closer, she broke out into a cold sweat. And she recognized that he was one of the very guards that had been very cruel to her during her time of internment. And as he got closer and closer, and he reached out his hand and he said, very, very true, Fraulein. It is true that we can praise God that He has separated our sins as far as the east is from the west. And she said, in that moment that he stuck his hand out, I shoved my hands into my pockets. And I didn't know what to do other than to pray, Lord, give me strength to respond as You would have me to. And in that second, she knew she just had a second to decide, will I be forgiving of my enemy? Or will I hold on to that and allow bitterness to grow in my heart otherwise? And in that moment, she said, she felt something that felt like a shock of power come over me, and my hand came out of my pocket, and I said, yes, brother, it is true that it is wonderful that Christ has separated my sin and your sin and our sins as far as the east is from the west, and I forgive you. And what an amazing night of healing it was for both her and this saint of God who had asked for forgiveness as well from all of the things that he had done. The Holy Spirit empowers us not to hate those who would be our enemies. And for some of us, the enemy might be the one in the mirror at times. Matthew 5, 43 through 45 says these words, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You know, this doesn't sound like normal thinking. It's godly thinking. And it's power of the Holy Spirit that can bring this about, that you may be sons, and I would add daughters, of your Heavenly Father, for He makes the sun in the sky to rise on the evil, and He makes the sun to rise on the good, and He sends rain on the just and the unjust. With God's help, we can let go of vengeance in this life and resentment if we let God's love control our lives. Next, God calls us to serve as a body, though He gifts us individually. Folks, we all need one another to do the work and the will of God in this world. In fact, every single gift is needed. Everyone who comes to Christ is needed. What's the Spirit calling you to today? What is He stirring in your heart to be about in His service? If you are a born-again believer in Christ, as we heard from the scripture that was read this morning, God has a particular ministry for you today. I can tell you personally, when you say yes, prepare for an adventure, because it'll never be a boring time. I can think back personally whenever I gave my life to Christ in 1991. I began searching for my call to serve. And at that time, the Lord led me to Kentucky. And some of you I've already talked with realized that I served for a time in the Redbird Missionary Conference and did experience things unimaginable. And, you know, if I would have known about it beforehand, I may have stayed home. Because sometimes you just have to trust and step out on the water and allow the Lord to give you one step at a time. But what a wonderful time it was to meet some wonderful people that didn't have 2 cents to rub together, but they were so rich in faith and in trust and in purpose in God's service. I served in the conference in a couple of different positions, and then I also did a project in Central America. During that time, I spent some time in a federal prison serving in a chaplaincy program while in Kentucky, and just on and on the doors that God has opened since I've allowed His Spirit to move me in this life. Years ago, I never would have dreamed that I would have experienced the many wonderful things that God has shown me through the power of His Holy Spirit. And He'll do the same for you when you allow Him to take your heart and to fully fill it and to lead you into His service. Beyond calling us into ministry, the Holy Spirit provides us with gifts for ministry. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says this, "There are diverse gifts, but the same Spirit. Though you may feel at times that you have little to offer, the Spirit gives each a gift, which is a special contribution to serve the common good in a unique way. Ask Him to reveal your gift, and He will." Romans 12:6 through 8 says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them in ministering." He doesn't gift us just for our own benefit, but He gifts us for the benefit of the body. The one who teaches, let them teach. Have you received a call to teach? You know, some folks think, well, I'm not called to teach in Sunday school. Whew, I'm good. I can check that one off the list. But the reality is, if you have the gift of teaching, you use it in any circle that you find yourself in. You may find yourself in a circle at work where you're the only believer, and God's going to teach that group something through you. You may find yourself in another setting, a small group setting, where you didn't realize before that God has gifted me to be able to do this and say this, and He'll work through you to teach others as only He can. The one who exhorts in exhortation, the one who gives, giving abundantly, the one who leads with diligence, the one who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Sometimes other people will see your gifts better than you can see your own. Learn to listen to the Spirit speaking through the comments of those around you today. And in fact, you may be that person that God uses to speak truth into the life of someone else today. That may be your gifting to say, well, have you ever thought about? Or have you ever noticed that when you're around, people are encouraged? Or have you ever thought about the fact that you can pray for people and it scares me half to death to have to do that? Gifts can be called out, and the Lord can use them to minister His church to needs around us. We need to look for God's grace and giftedness within each other, not being critical, but being affirming. Build one another up in love. Challenge one another to live out the call upon each other's lives. The Spirit equips each one of us to be the church in the world. We are equipped to be the body of Christ. In fact, that is, we seek to know and to do the good and to do the great things that God has called us out to do, and to share them freely with others around us by freely helping others where we see a need. And so how do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit? First, we make ourselves available to God. I've heard it said that, you know, God doesn't necessarily need those who are able. He needs those who are available. Now, you may be able to do certain things, and God can use that. But more than that, you need to be a person that says, yes, I will. And then He will enable you to do the things He calls you to. John 15, 1 through 12 gives a wonderful picture of what this looks like when God makes us usable. Jesus says these words, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. Now that's a word that I don't hear used too often, but I like it. It's a word that we may not use in conversation. In fact, I like to think of it more in terms of hang out with me. I would probably hear that more often than abide, or just stay close to me, or walk next to me, or stay with me, is what Jesus is saying. For when you stay with me, when you abide in me and I in you, things will happen in your life. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him or her bears much fruit. For with me you can do all things, from another book we are told. But here Jesus says, for without me you can do nothing. For without me you can do nothing. I don't think that he is necessarily giving a harsh statement, but just a plain truth at the end of this. In Christ we can do all things that he calls us to, but without the Spirit of the Lord we can do nothing. And so how do I abide? I must allow God to prune my ideas and to prune my purposes to allow him to grow in my life. Now some of you here are gardeners. And you know what pruning is and what it's like and what it means. And I really didn't completely understand. I had to do some reading up on it. But what I learned is that, you know, I just think in terms of cutting things away, and when in fact pruning is so much more than that. I like the image of the grapevine, where sometimes pruning means taking what's been rained upon and the soil and the dirt covering it up, to be lifted up and washed off and cleaned off and exposed to the sunlight again so it can be fruitful again. And God will do that in our lives when we allow Him to by His Spirit. There are things in our lives that are good, but they need to be made better by His Spirit cleaning and picking up and starting again. And I like that because sometimes I get soiled and I need to go, oh God, forgive me for this. Oh God, take this out of my life. Oh God, heal me in this area, and He will, and then send us out to be used. And so by allowing God to prune us from certain things and experiences, our lives become fruitful in Him. We abide in Christ also through prayer. Through prayer and worship, we open ourselves up to God, and we carry on a lifelong dialogue with God, just talking with Him about anything and everything. It's so important. I was talking with someone about prayer earlier this week. And in fact, I was asked, you know, Pastor, is it all right? You know, when I go to God at night and I go this way and I say these things, is it all right? And I said, you know, I think it's very all right, because whether you're doing it perfectly or not, every time you go to God in prayer, you're putting yourself in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You're putting yourself in the presence of the Father. And every time you go there, you cannot leave the same. The thing to think about, though, is we often have the mindset that when I go to prayer, I'm giving my list up to God, and I am, and that's okay, but oftentimes we may stop there. And it's like picking up the phone and saying my peace, and then going, okay, have a nice day, see you, and hanging it up. And I haven't even heard what's coming from the other end. And so when I come into the presence of the Holy, I need to take time to just sit and to be and to wait and to listen. And sometimes when I do that, I'll get a very clear word from God. And other times it may take time. Other times it may just be silence. And it's just like when I used to sit with my grandfather before he passed on and went on to glory. We might not say five words for the half hour that we're together, but it was so good to be with him. And I still remember that to this day. It should be that way whenever we go to God in prayer. Just to be in His presence is enough. And so we carry on a lifelong dialogue with God. We confess the things that the Spirit brings to our mind and heart in light of the love of His Spirit. And we say, Lord, take these things from me. We come alive together in Christ as we are woven together in love and learn to count ourselves as no better than others by having in us the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. We'll recall from a few weeks back when I preached from Philippians, your homework was to read those verses beyond verse 5 in the second chapter. But let me remind us, verses 4 and 5 say, let each of you look not only to his own or her own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this be the mind in you which was also in Christ Jesus, helping each other remain rooted and grounded in God's love. Folks, when we pray for one another, when we fellowship together and worship together and serve together, we are doing no less but helping one another remain rooted and grounded in that love that comes from the Holy Spirit. What gifts do you see in others around you today? What gifts has God given you? And be honest. Sometimes the answer is, I don't know, but I'm willing. I don't know, but I want to know. I don't know, God, but whatever it is, take me and use me however you see fit. And He will. How can you be renewed and empowered to share your gift with others? By knowing that therefore now there is no condemnation for the one who is in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say that there's no condemnation because I'm trying harder to please God. It doesn't say there's no condemnation because I've learned so much and I've grown so much spiritually. The condemnation is gone because of all that Christ has done for us. And because of Christ Jesus, we are never condemned by sin or never left alone. And so we can serve wholeheartedly. We simply begin today by remembering, as one great invitational hymn stated it this way so clearly, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. That's the foundation of why there is no condemnation in our lives today. And there is power, and there is pardon, and there is peace, and there is purpose, and there is provision that only God alone can give for the one who is fully trusting and obeying today. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You today for Your magnificent provision of grace in Jesus Christ. God, we thank You that when we believe on and trust in Christ, we are immediately filled with Your Spirit. Though we may not feel it, it goes beyond a feeling. We trust Your word that tells us the one who is in Christ has the Spirit of Christ, and the one who does not have Christ does not have the Spirit of Christ. And so, God, give us a burden to be a witness to those who are without a Spirit of Christ. And give us wisdom to live into the fact that when Your Spirit is alive in our lives, then we have the power to love and serve. And we have the provision, and we have the pardon that is the greatest thing in this life and the life to come. And we have a peace that goes beyond understanding, and we have a purpose that only You can give us. Oh God, help us to understand this word today that teaches us what it means to live as holy people, not condemned, but holy people empowered to love and serve. We just pray all this in the mighty, holy, and powerful name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.